All right, it appears we have a live stream. My name is Barry with BarryIndependent.com. Today we are going to talk about China and free speech and a bit about what's going on with Russia and Belarus and Poland and Ukraine and all of those things. Dropping a link right now for the patrons. And then we'll do the dang thing. Already got people in the chat. Man, you guys are fast, super fast. Alt tab, screen share, boom, there we go. Bear Independent Brief, 1 December. Can you believe it? 1 December already, yet here we are. It's like 65 degrees in eastern Oklahoma today. I'll take it. An episode of The Simpsons that referenced the Tiananmen Square massacre and the heavy censorship of China has been ironically censored in Hong Kong by Disney Plus because, you know, Disney, they're just a good old family company and or trying to take over the world. Not entirely sure yet. The episode reportedly had a scene where Homer Simpson stood over a mummified body of Mao Zedong and called him, quote, a little angel that killed 50 million people. And the report goes on from here. You've got this on Patreon and in the description on YouTube. Of course, the struggle for free speech and free information is growing massively, even without Chinese interference. More famously, the U.S. saw Facebook and Twitter ban the Hunter Biden laptop story. Remember that? The old Parmesan himself from the New York Post, but not the New York Times story that covered Trump's tax returns. Censorship is seen with most major topics. Medical issues and legal issues are not exempt. A doctor can be banned for sharing a medical opinion, and the average Joe can be censored for sharing their personal experience. Twitter's Jack Dorsey is being replaced by a new CEO, Parag Agrawal, however the hell you pronounce that name, who has been somewhat supportive of free speech with a hands-off approach. Some critics even say he hasn't done enough to deal with the misinformation and hate speech on the platform. Hate speech is for losers. If noises offend you, you're a loser. While that sounds hopeful, he has commented that automation does a poor job of dealing with fake news in a timely manner. Time will tell if a change in leadership will bring any improvement. While this should be a minor issue, one must wonder if leaders in big tech are tomorrow's oligarchs and technocrats. Speaking of which, oligarchs and technocrats, we'll be talking about Russia in a moment. And ultimately, will they be pulling the strings of society? Do we have a live stream? Do you want to build a snowman? You can't in Oklahoma today. You can't build a snowman. 65 degrees outside. Oh, PJ is live? I had no idea PJ was live. Shut it down, Pastor Joe is live. We're too broke to afford free speech, Mr. America. That's funny. Roger that, Hans. Shalom, brother. Sarah, shalom, sister. Good to see everybody. Over here at TheBlaze.com, Disney bows to pressure from China censors. Simpson episode mocking Chinese censorship in Hong Kong. Censor the episode mocking censorship. Good times. The Hong Kong Free Press reported over the weekend that episode 12 of season 16, titled Gu Gu Gai Pan, was not available on Disney Plus amid the streaming service's rollout this month. The episode, which was first broadcast in 2005, reportedly follows the fictional cartoon family on a trip to mainland China where they pay visits to the mummified body of former Chairman Mao Zedong and Beijing's Tiananmen Square. Right. Because cartoons are dangerous. Disinformation tactics used by China from BBC.com. 12 March is the date of this article, but it stands. It's relevant. Whoa, what is happening with my scrollage? Doobie doobie doo. The Chinese embassy in London has criticized the BBC following a documentary about Chinese disinformation campaigns. Good times. Increasing anti-BBC coverage. So the English are mad that the Chinese are talking bad about the BBC and also not putting their stuff on the airwaves. This was interesting. Wolf warriors on social media. In recent months, China experts have noticed dozens of new and highly active official social media accounts representing Chinese embassies and leading diplomats. This has been known as the Wolf Warrior Diplomacy. The best-known account belongs to Zhao Lijian from the Chinese Foreign Ministry. He caused controversy in March after tweeting articles suggesting that coronavirus originated in the Estados Unidos. Oh no. Those tweets have been shared more than 40,000 times. Speaking of tweets, we'll talk about Jack in a minute. China draws on millions of citizens to monitor the internet and influence public opinion on a massive scale online. These recruits are known as the 50 Cent Army, so named because reports say that they are paid a half a yuan per post. So that's interesting. Maybe they're just fans of rap and they're the 50 Cent Army. I don't know. This keyboard army has long been active on Chinese social media platforms. Its aim has been to aggressively defend and protect China's image overseas. Right. Aiming and protecting. Here's a picture of a guy who clearly is aiming to protect right here because free speech and stuff. More on China's fake social media accounts. You got links to all this in the description. Twitter CEO Parag Agrawal faces three big challenges as he takes over from Jack Dorsey. And here's this fellow right here. He's apparently 37 years old, chipper, full of life. And there's this article from QZ.com goes in depth if you want to know the inner workings of the challenges that Twitter is going to face as this new fella takes over. Their first concern is following in the founder's wake, blah, 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 hitting Twitter's growth targets, blah, blah, blah. The third was interesting. Challenge three, taking on misinformation. Under Dorsey, Twitter frequently came under criticism for misinformation and hate speech. I hate sounds that has flourished on the platform. The flourishing of hate speech. To that, we drink the coffee cup that says meh on it. The company introduced new features in recent months aimed at helping to curb at least some of those issues. Automated pop-ups now nudge users to first read stories before sharing links to them, while warning labels alert users. Does anybody pay attention to those warning labels? I certainly don't. And how many times have you seen COVID-19 misinformation labels? I'm like, oh, this guy probably knows what he's talking about then. He earned himself a little warning label. Warning labels alert users to tweets containing misinformation about elections or COVID-19. Two incredibly manipulated, highly politicized things that have happened in the last 2 years. I'm sure we need the warning labels on there to make sure that the free people don't remain so free any longer, because you can't tell people what to think, but you certainly can tell them what to think about. Got it. The company began testing a feature that allows users to report misinformation. Sounds a lot like the Soviet information networks during the Cold War, where 50% of the population was reporting on the other 50% of the population. Good times. Speaking with MIT Technology Review last year, in his capacity as CTO or Chief Technical Officer, Agrawal, the new guy, said that Twitter's responsibility did not lie in trying to distinguish between truth and falsehoods. Agreed. And that removing content shouldn't be a first resort. Agreed. Quote, it's an increasingly nuanced approach with a range of interventions where we think about whether or not certain content should be amplified without context, he said. Oh, so we shouldn't just ban information, we shouldn't just ban people, but we do need to think about the context with which this information has been presented. And the interesting thing about context is if you lack context or you paint false context around a statement, you can completely reimagine what that statement's supposed to mean, right? It's like how many times have people said, well, you can find a verse in the Bible to support or not support anything on the face of the earth. That's accurate, unless you read it in context. But, back to the article, but Agrawal has also acknowledged that relying on automation to flag misinformation means the company can be slow to react to the spread of fake news. Quote, it takes us a while to develop a process to scale, to have automation to enforce the policy. I'm not proud that we missed a large amount of misinformation, even where we have a policy, because we haven't been able to build these automated systems. Cool. Skynet. When does Cyberdyne Systems take over the world? Has that happened yet? Where are we on the timeline with that? Anybody in the chat? When do we all become cucks for the T-100s? Does anybody remember? Has it happened yet? Anybody? Jay McDizzle. Good job, Badger. Get him. What's up, Bad Wabbit? I don't know where we are on the Sarah Connor timeline right now. Is it time to go to the desert and pull that, trench plate over the top of the underground armory yet? 2025. Thank you, White Fox. I appreciate that. Oh, no. Medic Mouse said it's 2022. 2000, I think, said Curl Hub. 1986. Guys, we're screwed. We can't even... We're done for. Maybe we're all living in the metaverse right now and it's all just make-believe. What's up, Cameron? I thought this was interesting from RT.com, fully acknowledging that RT is Russian propaganda. Let's see what the propagandists have to say, because, hell, all these other news agencies are just nation-state propaganda anyway. So let's see what the Russians have to say. From RT.com, young Americans see U.S. democracy has failed, according to a poll. A national survey of 18 to 29-year-old Americans shows more than half believe the U.S. democracy has either failed or is in trouble. And a significant portion also sees the potential for civil war. Of the 52% polled who said they've lost or are losing faith in America's democratic system, by the way, we're a representative republic, not a democracy. But see, this again is the co-opting of words. We teach everybody that we're that shining hill of democracy, shining light of democracy on the hill. We're not a democracy. In a democracy, 51% gets to tell the 49% what to do. We are a representative republic, or at least we were supposed to be when we were set up by our founding fathers. But, you know, we just co-opt terms and we teach people incorrectly, and within a couple of generations, everybody's running around thinking we're supposed to be a democracy. Negative. Democracies are actually incredibly dangerous for the 49%, which is why they want a democracy, because all they need is controlling stake 51% so they can enact their will on the 49%. We are a representative republic. That means that if 99% of the population decides that this 1% of the population should be marginalized, they're the bad guys, they don't get to stand in the breadlines, they got to do this thing, they go to the internment camps, we have a representative for that 1% to say, not just no, but hell no, dog. That's how a representative republic is supposed to work, which is what we're supposed to be. But we are not, nor have we ever been, a democracy. So, of the 52% polled who said that they've lost or losing faith in America's democratic system, which, if we're going to co-opt words, yeah, the democratic system sucks, 39% described the country as a democracy in trouble. Another 13% of respondents called it a failed democracy, according to research released on Wednesday by the Institute of Politics at Harvard Kennedy School. Of the more than 2,100 young Americans surveyed for the poll, only 7% said they believe the U.S. is a healthy democracy, while another 27% consider it a somewhat functioning democracy. So 34% or so of youngsters think that we're doing okay, that we're doing meh. Fair enough. Interestingly, depending on how you defined a functional democracy, I might be prone to agree with them. But, you know, again, propagandizing. To the article, unsurprisingly, those who identified as Republicans were most concerned about the state of the U.S. under the leadership of Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., the most popular president in all of American history. A Democrat was sinking poll numbers as he attempts to address numerous crises, including the COVID-19 pandemic, supply chain issues, and record inflation. Yeah, it's all part of the plan. WEForum.org. Look up The Great Reset. Biden's approval numbers among young voters in the Harvard poll represented declines similar to other recent surveys. Only 46% of respondents to this survey said they approved of the president's job performance, a 13% drop from a similar poll that was taken by the group in April. While the Democrats expressed the most faith in the country, 45% said the U.S. is either a democracy in trouble or one gone too far gone. Again, depending on how you define that, and there's nuances there, I'm prone to agree with them. Now, let's take 30 to 60 seconds to talk about this, my brothers and sisters. I think the United States of America as we know it is headed like a freight train down a set of tracks that's got, like, the tracks are out, the bridge is out, we're going to go off the canyon. It's going to be ugly. And I don't know if we have time to fix the tracks right now or the capability to fix the tracks. But I do think after the train wrecks, we need some really good engineers and some really good construction people and some really good laborers and some really good, train company, rail manufacturers, railroad tie, gravel people. We need all of that to build another track next to the one that's already really jacked up. And then we need to do an autopsy on the train wreck to go, how do we make sure we don't do this again? And so I don't think that it's wise that we stand on the busted track trying to stop the runaway freight train. I do think that we acknowledge the importance of the train and the tracks and the need for the tracks to get across this this bridge, right? All of that is good. But if the friggin' train is going to wreck, don't stand on the train tracks and get run over. Get off of the tracks. You can stand next to it. You can be adjacent to it, but you don't need to be on the tracks as the train wrecks. But you should be thinking about acknowledging, damn, this train is going to wreck. What are we going to do? Well, we still need trains. We still need tracks. Maybe it's time to build a new train track. I wonder what that might look like. And the way that we do that, in my mind, is American ingenuity and technology and work ethic and honesty and morality and ethics, where we actually put our hand to the freaking plow again and we go and we get some, because the United States of America is full of people in times past and now that are gonna go get some. We will make whatever you want to make. We will do whatever you want to do. We will figure out whatever needs to get figured out. We make shit happen around here. And yes, many of us have forgotten that. Many of us have never experienced that. But I'm telling you, this entire country is built, has been built by people that make shit happen. And rather than standing on the train tracks, bitching about the fact that the train's going to run off the tracks, and maybe if we all just vote in new engineers, they'll be able to stop the freight train. And that if we can put enough money towards infrastructure, and if we can raise enough money, raise enough awareness about the fact that the tracks are out, no, the train's going to wreck. Get off the damn train. It doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge the need for trains. It doesn't mean we don't acknowledge the need for tracks. It doesn't mean that it's a good idea to have a train track that goes across this canyon right here on this bridge. It just means that this one that we have right now is off course and gonna wreck, and it's gonna be ugly. So you could try and stand in the way of it, or you could hop off the damn track and learn from this, do the autopsy, and build your own damn tracks. That's where I'm at. And that's gonna take hard-working Americans and the vehicle of small business and moderately sized businesses, where we can do and should do anything that we can do to build new tracks, build new trains, employ as many people as possible, get some now while you can, right? And then when that train wreck happens, oh shit, a train wreck happened. Yeah, we know. We've been talking about it for a long, long, long time. The train is going to come off the tracks. Don't be surprised by it. You know it's coming. It's going to suck. But be in a position of strength where you weren't taken out by the train wrecking, so you can build your own tracks, or you can get together with other like-minded people and build your own tracks, build your own bridges, build your own trains, hitch your car to somebody else's train, whatever that looks like in this freaking metaphor that I'm painting right now. But we need strong Americans, strong small business owners, strong workers, strong people to not even necessarily put this thing back together again after the wreck, but to, in the ashes of this wreck, acknowledge that, hey, that train was all effed up. Those tracks were a nightmare, comma. We still need tracks. We still need trains. We still need to get across this gulch over here, this canyon. We still need a bridge across there. Let's make something new. Stronger, better, faster, harder than the one that we had before that was a wreck. And we didn't trust the engineers, and the maintenance guys sucked, and the tracks hadn't been tended, and none of the people who were co-owners in the co-op of the train track company were paying attention anymore, right? That system failed. Build another one next to it. Solve the same problems in a different way. Am I making any sense at all? Do we still got a live stream? Yeah, we got a live stream. Wild Man says, get some. Hey, what's up, everybody? Need volunteers to work the creosote. I like it. Good analogy. Thanks, Lone Star Prepper. The Watchman. What's up, Watchman? Shabba-dabba-doo. Trains made from American steel. I agree. I agree completely. What else we got? From RT.com, some more Russian propagandizing. Western missiles in Ukraine will force Russia to react. Right, and so we talked about this previously, that Russia right now is saying, hey, we won't shoot first unless we have to defend ourselves. And you putting all that NATO hardware right next door to us, we don't really appreciate that. A senior Russian senator advised Kiev, which is the capital of Ukraine, and the West, that's us, to consider how Moscow will react following revelations that strike missile systems could possibly appear in Ukraine close to the Russian border. Writing on his Telegram channel, Alexei Pushkov suggested that Russia would have to take action in response. Quote, "The appearance of missile strike systems in Ukraine will force Russia to react," he wrote. "I believe that Kiev, Brussels, and Washington should take this warning very seriously." Pushkov was reacting to a comment made by Russian President Vladimir Putin at Tuesday's Russia Calling Investment Forum when he said that the appearance of advanced weaponry near the border is a serious issue. Quote, "What should we do? We would then have to create something like this against those who threaten us in this way, and we can do it now," Putin said, noting that Russia had now developed hypersonic weapons. It's... yeah. There's gonna be a fight in the parking lot, okay? Everybody knows there's gonna be a fight in the parking lot. And all the school kids are rallying around the two kids that are going to fight in the parking lot. And we just know. It's just a matter of time. There's going to be a fight in the parking lot. And this kid's got his skateboard. And that kid's got his brass knuckles. And that kid picked up a pipe. And it's going to get ugly. And everybody's just staring across the parking lot at each other, waiting for somebody to make the first misstep. And then it's on. Back to the article. "Creating this kind of threat is a red line, but I hope it will not come to that. I hope that a sense of common sense and responsibility for our countries and the world continues to prevail," Putin concluded. And also from RT, "Putin calls on NATO to do a deal." That's a hell of a headline. To do a deal. Copy. "President Vladimir Putin has said he will request talks with NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, to ensure that the U.S.-led military bloc does not creep closer to his country's borders as Ukraine moves to allow Western troops into the country." Yeah. Speaking to a group of newly arrived ambassadors in the Kremlin on Wednesday, Putin said that his country will, quote, "insist on guarantees being set out to exclude the possibility of NATO moving any further into the east and deploying threatening weapons close to Russian territory. I would like to emphasize that we need these to be legal guarantees," the Russian president said, quote, "given that our Western colleagues have not fulfilled their respective oral obligations. Everyone knows they made promises they wouldn't expand eastwards, but then they did the opposite. Legitimate Russian security concerns have been ignored and continue to be ignored." Putin insisted that the threat at our Western borders is really growing and we have repeatedly talked about it. "It is enough to see how close NATO's military infrastructure has advanced to the Russian borders. It's more serious for us." And so you got the rest of the article here. Let's see right here. "When announcing the country would reabsorb the Crimean Peninsula, quote, when the infrastructure of a military bloc is moving towards our borders, it causes us some concerns and questions. We need to take some steps in response." So, again, it's the whole, like, amassing in the parking lot, waiting for one person to say the wrong thing or make the wrong move, and boom, it's on. So, something to keep an eye on, for sure, something to keep an eye on. Let's see. BearIndependent.com. How do you spell Bear Independent? BearIndependent+*, and then a unicorn emoji and a rainbow emoji .com for all you people that failed the third grade. BearIndependent.com. If you click on the store at BearIndependent.com, you'll find the Unafraid t-shirt, and this is cool. It's available for a limited time only. We're doing this with Bear Swag now, where instead of having like 20 shirts available 24/7, 365, we're doing one at a time, and they're limited runs. And so if you want a cool Bear t-shirt, it's got the Bear logo on the one shoulder, the Don't Tread on Me on the other logo, and it just simply says Unafraid across the front. Get it now, because when it's gone, it's gone. Limited time run. And what does that mean, Unafraid? I am unafraid of all of this bullshit. COVID-19, don't care. Russia's gonna nuke us, I don't care. Did you see what China's, I don't care. I'm unafraid of all this shit. It doesn't mean that I'm not paying attention to it. I'm 100% paying attention to it, but I sleep really damn well at night. You know why? Because I'm doing what I can to address the issues. And therefore, I am unafraid. And that's what this t-shirt's all about. unafraid. You can get it at bearindependent.com. I also wanted to point out to y'all, of the myriad things that are available under the American-made durable goods, you got Pastor Joe's book, you got Ultralight 2-Point Slings, the t-shirt, the Bear Blend coffee mug, right here, bro. A whole bunch of stuff from Sanctified Supply Co., the Minuteman bag from Sojourn Gear, and then I wanted to point out this, Travel Humidor. Oh, also, you need an anvil right here made out of, remember that train analogy we were just talking about? How about you get you some train track that's been turned into an anvil? Super cool gift for somebody if you know they're into metallurgy and blacksmithing, or they're just beginning. You know, it's a cool gift. Plus, you know, it weighs like a ton. So if somebody's trying to, you know, shake the box and figure out what's in it, good luck. But from Benchmark Humidors, these are freaking awesome travel humidors. I'm going to be doing a standalone video for YouTube on these travel humidors, but they're awesome. 100% wood. They're made by my buddy Danny at Benchmark Humidors, the same guy that I learned woodworking from. The first lesson I ever got from him was wrong pencil, dumbass. And because I was trying to do fine carpentry with a carpenter's pencil, negative, that we use one of those little clicky 0.7, you know, micron pencils instead. And I went from being able to get a cut within a 16th of an inch to 128th of an inch on that first day. And I learned woodworking from this man. He's a mentor of mine, he's a friend of mine, and he's a brother. And he's also passionate about the hobby of, not the habit of, the hobby of smoking a fine cigar. And so he came up with the Benchmark Travel Humidor. And it holds about 4 sticks. It's 100% an upgrade from that little blow-molded plastic case that everybody's running around with. And it makes a phenomenal gift. And you can go to benchmarkhumidors.com, or you can get them from the Bear Store. Doesn't matter which. But they have all these different species. Quarter sawn fumed white oak. Gorgeous. Quarter sawn figured walnut. Figured curapixa. Look at this. Australian lacewood. Gorgeous. Santos rosewood. The whole inside is lined with Spanish cedar, by the way, to keep your cigars nice and fabulous. Fiddleback macor. Fiddleback anigre. Zeracote. That is gorgeous. And look at the burled walnut. Holy freaking cow. Dude, absolutely gorgeous. So, they're beautiful. They're reasonably priced. The entry level's about $120. The max is $180. They make a great gift. They're made in Texas by real human beings, not by the T-100 robots from Skynet. And you'd be helping a brother out for sure. And they make a great gift, an absolutely awesome gift. So go to benchmarkhumidors.com. Tell them that Bear sent you. And, you know, love on them. Leave them a nice little note. Let them know. I love them. They're absolutely gorgeous. Carol Monette, thank you for the $50 bill. Appreciate you, sister. And then over here, Refuge Medical. You guys know the drill. If you're gonna try to not die, you should have a first aid kit. And if you're gonna have a first aid kit, you should have one of ours. Why? Because it's the best kit on the market. Handmade, made in America, guaranteed forever, exceeds military specification. 26 lives, although I need to reach out to a fellow because it could be 28. I need to confirm the story. Between 26 and 28 lives saved to date, the new BearFac 3.0 has just launched. Upgraded contents, upgraded pouch, absolutely awesome. From 2 years of testing and evaluation in the field with U.S. Special Forces, that's how we have these iterations on the BearFac. Everything you need, nothing you don't. Everything is 100%. HSA and FSA eligible 24/7, 365. And so if you got an HSA card burning a hole in your wallet, you can use it at refugemedical.com for kits and for components. Wound buckets are still flying off the shelves. And so if you don't have half a dozen wound buckets put away in your prepper stuff, you're probably doing the prepper stuff wrong. Smash kit. Just talked to my buddy Devin the other day who helped us develop this thing. Literally designed for Baja racing at 140 miles an hour through the desert. Probably good enough for your off-road Jeep or side-by-side. It's in a Pelican case. Our buddy Carl at Tactical Rifleman was just talking about these on his channel. They're 100% badass. You got the smash kit and the crash kit, depending on what size you need. They're the bomb. So check them out. In fact, check this out. If you go to Wound Care Bucket, you click on Wound Care Bucket, and then you go to the reviews. Where's my reviews at? Customer reviews. Let's see. Where is it? Refuge Medical builds the best kits I've ever tested. Legit kits built by pros. Oh, who said that? Oh, Wrangler Star said that. Oh, and he kind of knows a thing or two about this stuff. 5 stars from the guy that reviews everything. Shalom, brother. Right? So I'm just saying, like, and we don't pay him or anybody to say nice things about us. So if you need a first aid kit, a real first aid kit, not 2 Band-Aids and a piece of electrical tape, refugemedical.com. And if you need to know how to use that, go to refugetraining.com. There's 4 classes up for the remainder of the year right now. We're going to start populating 2022 within the next few weeks. Got a Responder 1 in Phoenix, Arizona. Responder 1 in Salt Lake City. The Essential Responder, which is badass. Stop the Bleed, Situational Awareness, CPR, AED, CASEvac, which is Casualty Evacuation, Active Shooter Response, Force on Force Scenario Based Training, and 100,000 reps on tourniquets, wound packing, chest seals, airways, head injuries, and everything else. That's the Essential Responder. That's in Salt Lake City, Utah. And then we've got a level 1 class in Wichita, Kansas as well. So go check those out, refugetraining.com. And that's the freaking show. That's the show, yo. You know what I mean? By the way, if you find value in what we do here, it would really help me if you could share this out to people that you think need to see the show. I appreciate it greatly. And there will be no MacGyver tape here, plebeians. Love it. Cameron, bless you, bro. Most kits have more Band-Aids in it than anything. I'll tell you what. Go watch that side-by-side comparison between the MyMedic Advanced IFAC and the BearFAC that I did. You want to puke in your mouth a little bit? Go see what they're calling an Advanced IFAC. It doesn't even have a tourniquet in it. Okay. Just saying. So, with that, I appreciate y'all. Y'all have a blessed day. Shaloha.